I'll call a regular city council meeting for March 27th to order. Madam Clerk, would you take the roll?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember Brad Hansen. Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
All members present, we have a quorum, Madam Mayor.
Okay. You'll stand, please, and Erica, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda, including the consent agenda, and also the approval of the minutes of the meeting from February 13th. And on item C, the employment contract has been laid on the table. What is the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Is there any additions, corrections, or amendments to the motion? All those in favor say yes.
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 All those opposed say no. The yeses have it, and our agenda has been approved. That includes the approval of the consent agenda, action memorandum 18-039, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute the renewal of the brand license agreement with Matanuska Telephone Association for the MTA Event Center. Action memorandum 18-040, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract in the amount of $72,208.80 for the 2018 crack seal street striping, and inferior pavement repairs bid to Alaska Sure Seal. And the action memorandum 18-041, authorizing the mayor to execute an employment agreement with the city clerk. And then also the approval of the previous minutes, February 13, 2018. The next item on our agenda is communication and appearance requests, and we have a proclamation honoring the National Service Recognition Day. And since we don't have anybody here to present it to them, I will just read it into the record. This is a proclamation from the City of Palmer. Whereas service to others is a hallmark of the American character and center to how we meet our challenges. And whereas the nation's citizens are increasingly turning to national service and volunteerism as a cost-effective strategy to meet their needs. And whereas American Corps and Senior Corps participants address the most pressing challenges facing our communities, from educating students for the jobs of the 21st century and supporting veterans and military families to providing health service and helping communities recover from natural disasters. And whereas national service expands economic opportunity by creating more sustainable, resilient communities and providing education, career skills, and leadership abilities for those who serve. And whereas American Corps and Senior Corps participants serve in more than 50,000 locations across the country, boasting the civic, neighborhood, and faith-based organizations that are so vital to our economic and social well-being. And whereas American Corps Volunteer Services to America, VISTA, in Palmer are building capacities with the goal of educating and exciting children and youth about gardening, local farming, procurement, and healthy eating, one of many projects helping to make Palmer a better Alaskan community. And now, therefore, it is proclaimed by myself, the mayor, and the city council of the city of Palmer, do hereby proclaim April 3rd, 2018 is National Service Recognition Day and encourage citizens and residents to recognize the positive effect of national service in our country and to thank those who serve and to find ways to give back to their communities. Okay, the next item on our agenda is reports and city manager. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I'll forward a copy of that proclamation to the National Office of AmeriCorps. Good. So that we are recognized for our support.
Good. Thank you.
A couple of things tonight. The first one is my staff update, data analysis. I'll go through that pretty quickly so that we can get to the one that you may have more questions on, the police service area. So first off, total calls for January are correction. And compared to January, total calls in February were 513, which is down slightly. The call breakdown really doesn't shift much. If you do the math, you'll find that one month we had 101, the next month we had 99%. That's just because of a rounding. I didn't do the math to make it come up to exactly 100. So if you see the 29, 30, the 18, and 22, it doesn't add up to 100. But generally, the percentages last month were pretty close to what they were the month before. Fire department calls were down quite a bit from January, almost half. And you can see the breakdown at fire. Half of them, fire was down by 50%, rescue down a little bit, and the others, again, not significant increases, but it was it's always good to have a slow month in the fire department.
Mm-hmm. And yep.
Hopefully he's not out fighting a fire right now. Moving on to community development, the number of patrons up slightly for total registered patrons in February as compared to January. Overall patron folks is up slightly. Our usage in January was down just a little bit in almost all areas. To include our programs, we're down by about 300 participants. So a slow month in February, a short month also, so fewer days. But I think it's just the time of the year as opposed to the number of days in the month on why that's down as much as it is. Moving on to compliance, we did have a couple more compliance letters dispatched. Our compliance officer has been out. We expect her back in the next couple of weeks, and then we may see more activity. Again, probably more so because the weather, January, February, mm-hmm. stuff is covered. As you see stuff melting out there, more and more junk will appear. And then we'll clean it up in May with our cleanup week. Building department, when we look at the overall number of permits, down slightly from previous years. Overall dollar valuation is fifth out of the last 10 years. Last month was significantly higher than other Januaries. But again, I still think that this shows that there's confidence in Palmer and people are still investing. Not significantly as they have in up years, but I don't think it's a down year as we've seen in the past. So that's it for the staff analysis. I can move on to the big report unless there's questions.
Is there questions on this thing so far on this city manager's report from the council? No. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so the next item, which is several pages long, is the Palmer Police Department Police Service Area Staffing and Cost Study. This is an internal thing that I asked Lance to do, and he did it begrudgingly. But the area outside Palmer, there's folks that are asking for a solution to their crime and other nuisance problems, and the borough can't have a, I shouldn't say they can't, they could have a sheriff's department through various mechanisms. One, they'd have to either get the borough class changed or take it to the voters to have a sheriff's department, and the other piece is cost. And at several meetings I've been to include some of the open houses and citizens input, it's always brought up, well, why can't Palmer or Wasilla expand their police force to cover our areas? Well, there's lots of reasons why we can't and we don't. And the first is the City of Palmer Police Department is for the City of Palmer, paid for by property taxes and sales taxes that are collected within the city. The other has to do with jurisdiction, the admin piece, how to work it out, where we can go beyond our borders, whether we can do that with the resources we have. So just because I've been asked several times, I thought it was probably time to get it to the council for, if nothing else, discussion and maybe direction that says, you know, when someone asks you if Palmer is willing to do this, your first answer should be X or Y, or we'll consider it. So this study, or cost study, or staffing report, looks at our water service district as the biggest that we would ever get just based on geography. That doesn't mean this. We just, if we decide to do something like this or pursue this with the borough, because this is a borough action, that doesn't mean that we would jump right into an area that big. One, it would take us years to be able to support something this big. But if we do go down this road with everybody's support, to include the citizens outside the city, which is really who would drive this, this is what, you know, it would potentially cost and look like if Palmer takes on a Palmer Police Service Area that's as big as Greater Palmer or the Water District. So again, this is the largest area incorporated, and it's got a pretty hefty price tag. And again, as Lance points out, you really can't just say, I need this many officers for this area, because it's driven by a lot of things. You can do the study based on population, one or two officers per thousand. But when it comes down to it, if we start down this road, it's going to be driven by caseload more than anything else. Some areas have little, some areas may have a lot. So you have to average that out, because your officers don't just sit in one area, they have to cover an expanded area. And then you have to look at the size. We're pretty fortunate by having a small city, and Lance points that out. We can get to almost anywhere in the city within 5 minutes from a call, and faster if we need to, based on the emergency, flashing lights and sirens and all that. That may not be the case if we expand our service area, because it takes more than 5 minutes to get to Four Corners if we go that far out. So do you have more officers positioned in that section of geography as opposed to, you know, everybody's patrolling within the city? So again, there's a lot that goes into this, but the real question, I think, is does the city really want to take this on in the future? One, the history we have with the borough, with Greater Palmer Fire Service Area, and we've seen how that comes and goes, some of the relationships there. Our dispatch is another issue that we had a very robust dispatch center, and look where we are today because the borough had a change of heart or a change of focus. So that's one side of it. You know, the relationship as a contractor, because that's what we'd be, as a contractor for this, and do we want to put ourselves in that position? Because if the contract loses, there's no way Palmer could keep 28 officers on staff for Little Palmer. The other is annexation. This could preclude folks wanting to be annexed. You know, the one thing we offer to the citizens that we don't offer anywhere else is police protection. So if I get police protection from Palmer, why would I ever want to be annexed? So that's another political question. And then the final piece in my mind is, you know, we really want to help the citizens of Greater Palmer as much as we can. The altruistic side of us says that's, you know, we really want to help, but at what cost is it to the city? From dollar-wise and admin-wise, our police department, if we grew this big, would be bigger than the rest of the city. And the issues that come with an area that big, Lance outlines in pretty good detail. I don't want to say great detail, because it's only so many pages long. But we do have some excess capacity. I mean, we have a chief that has the capability and the professionalism to handle a police force of this size. I'm very confident he could walk into Anchorage and run that organization very well. So I don't think we're under capacity with our chief and our commander. We wouldn't have to have another commander. There's excess capacity there. There's excess capacity in our dispatch, but not for an area this big. So weighing, you know, we have some excess capacity. We could, through a police service area that's small, maybe Springer, maybe out to Equestrian Acres, and we grow this through time. But where do we stop? I mean, how do we tell somebody the next Midtown Estates, the next subdivision down, that, no, sorry, we're done? So those are the kind of questions that really, as a policy, where do we see ourselves? And I don't need an answer tonight. I mean, if you all want to just table this to read it and have me bring it back some other time, that's fine too. But I thought you should see this, especially based on a lot that's going on in the surrounding areas about a sheriff's department and people talking about, well, let's just have a police service area. Well, it's not that easy. There's a lot of things that go into that. And the first piece is, if you say, okay, how are you going to pay for it? And you raise your mill rate 3 mil to cover the police department. That's all well and good, but it still doesn't cover the upfront cost to get it started, especially the hiring piece. How do we hire more officers to handle a larger area? So, again, that's why I put this in report tonight, just because there are conversations going on. One of our legislators introduced a House bill authorizing private police organizations, which would be another piece that could potentially take over an area where homeowners, subdivisions could get together and contract out a police force. Not that I want to compete with that, but that would be something that would be potentially to take the place of this. I don't think that's gotten legs in the House at this point, but that's legislation that's been introduced. So the conversation is going on, how do we take care of areas outside the cities? I'm not saying the troopers aren't doing a great job, but we all know how limited they are and how big the area is, so there is a demand for it from the citizens of some sort. It gets down to who's paying and how much. So I'll get off the soapbox, and if you have questions or want to move on, that's all I have for my report tonight.
Councilman Carrington?
Just kind of a question for the manager that, you know, for those that are just outside our city limits, I mean, if they want to require the Palmer police to visit them, all I have to do is volunteer to join the city. And then it happens automatically, right?
There is a process, but yes, that is one of the processes to do that. and that's in the conclusion portion, you know, annex considerations are, again, that's probably the biggest carrot we offer to anybody that's not inside the city limits is our police department. They're already getting our fire service.
And water and sewer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Okay.
No, I applaud the city manager for doing this. I think it's important, especially with the borough, considering, they're having a discussion about sheriff's department. I think that for the citizens, we could probably provide a more cost-effective police force than a duplication of the administrative costs necessary to form another one. But I do think that we, as a city, need to entertain the idea of maybe talking to some of these subdivisions immediately around the city to encourage them to have a police service area, just so that we can reduce the marginal cost of the dispatch center for ourselves. I think that we need to kind of just entertain that thought and maybe encourage or question whether there's a need or a desire for that service to be happen. Because I think at some point in time with the public opinion, there's going to have to be some public safety discussion on whether the borough is going to get involved here and at what level. So,
okay. Are there questions or comments from the council? Yes, Councilman Fuller.
Hey, Mayor. I think this is a great report in that it's a small piece of what we need to, what the city needs as a plan for future annexation. I mean, in addition to this, I think there should be a public works one out there for road maintenance and whatnot, and what those pieces would be. As for a public safety service area, like a fire service area, I think that's totally out of the question for us, because then we'd just be ceding our police force to the borough like we do our fire service, and we'd be footing the bill. And there would be no interest to join the city. And I can sound callous as it is, but that's the biggest benefit of being in the city, is we've got a police force that's going to be there when we call. But I think this is a great piece to go and sell the city in annexation in the future.
Okay. Further questions or comments from any of the other council people on the report or anything else on the city manager's report? Okay. All righty. Okay, the next item is the city clerk's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you. I don't have a written report in the packet, but I did want to let the council know that advertisement went out for the Park and Rec Cultural Resources Advisory Board vacancy 2 weeks ago. The position does close this Friday at 4:30, or the accepting of applications closes this Friday at 4:30. One application has been received at this time. And I've not heard anything on the street of interest or anything of that nature. So just getting the word out on that. There will be a secondary Facebook post. I almost said a face post. A Facebook post this week, just as a reminder to the community. I did want to let the council know as well. I'm sure you all have seen that we got a great response on our Facebook post regarding pushing out information on the bridge. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to continue to support, you know, other governmental agencies as they have information that's pushed out, and the Facebook post will be not just about the City of Palmer government, but things that impact our community that are also of other government interest. I have a couple of times pushed out and shared the borough information, mm-hmm. and it didn't get quite the response. I find that we get better response rates on our own personal City of Palmer stuff. But I'll still continue to do that. And we definitely got tons of participation rate on that one about the bridge, which, mm-hmm. I mean, it did. Definitely impacted our community. And so that was great. And I was like, yay, positive on that one. And then also I wanted to let you know that the election calendar will be posted on our website soon for the 2018 election. It is in hard copy form on the election bulletin board there in the back. If you guys are interested, and like I said, it'll be out on the website here in the next couple of weeks, so it'll be open for everyone.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or comments to the city clerk? Yes, go ahead, sir.
Just a quick follow-up on the PCRAB position. Is that a within the city limits position or an area-wide one?
It doesn't have to be within city limits. We are meeting the minimum requirement at this time. So if the position, if the mayor nominates someone who lives outside of the city limits, we still meet our minimum qualification. We are okay. Yes.
Any other questions to the... Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes, thank you. The next item is my report, and on my report I have the Crazy Lazy race. Would you like to talk about it now, or you want to talk about it under council comments, or you don't want to talk about it at all? Okay. All righty. A couple items that I have there. Wanted to bring the council up to date on the discussion with the highway department regarding North and South Valley Way and Arctic. And he got back to me and he said that they would not be interested in putting in a roundabout there because they prefer to put roundabouts closer to the entrance to the city. And so they would be interested in a roundabout one block to the east, which would be Dahlia, which is the street that goes in front of the courthouse and ends up in the parking lot of the borough. And so that's where, and I said to him, well, there's a big church there. And he said, well, I didn't tell you it was going to be easy, he said. So I don't know. So I don't know. That's because he said what that would do is that slows down the traffic when it comes into town. And he did offer to meet with Nate and I. I was going to talk to the council to see if they wanted me to see if he could come maybe to a council meeting under persons to be heard or under communications, and we could just talk about the whole thing. He did give us permission, which is a major milestone, to have a crosswalk there. And if the city would pay for the paint to do that, and also if they put in an overhead blinking red light, if we would be willing to pay the electricity. So... So that would be, you know, something that I guess probably we'll have the clerk, if I see some head nodding, I think we'll go ahead and have the clerk put up and the city manager put in an action memorandum, and we'll put it on the agenda, and then we can formally give the instructions to the administration to do that. And then if you do, would you prefer that he would come out and we would talk about, he's for this area, so we probably could talk about a lot of things, and maybe even especially even the construction that's going to go on and how exactly they're going to handle that. Or if he doesn't, is not entitled and is not directing that, he could maybe bring somebody along that would, so we would be able to have that discussion, and we would be, you know, prepared when in whatever it's going to be, probably 6 weeks, 2 months, and the detour, 1st of May, so, yeah, for the construction to start, so it's 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
Oh, boy. We haven't got a timeline to start yet.
Yeah, so, yeah, so we'd be a little bit maybe ahead of the curve, and we could get our citizens notified and that kind of thing. So, okay, so then we'll go ahead and proceed with those two items, the AM, and then also see if he can come out and be here for a meeting with the council. And then the other thing I put on regarding is I get on all the snow that we had. I don't know about the rest of the council that got lots of requests regarding especially the sidewalks and things like that. And I know that in our code that it does say the sidewalks are to be taken care of by the property owners. But then I look at the new property owner that's right next door, and I know we can't say that you know, ignorance of the law as an excuse. But I think the city, as the city, we need to reach out to some of the new property owners and just let them know that that is their responsibility. And I don't think we've done that in the past. And I was even looking like at Dr. Brooks's place there on the corner. So we do have some new property owners where, you know, again, getting back to the point of being Palmer, being walkable and bikeable, we need to follow through. So just be thinking about that, and maybe like September this next year, September in the fall, maybe sending out a notice with all the water bills or something like that. Just, you know, something to be a little bit more proactive in working with our community. And I'll be talking to the downtown merchants to see if they still want that to be responsible. Maybe we need to relook at that whole thing. Maybe they would be interested in some kind of district where we would hire somebody to do it and then bill them, or it would be added to their property tax or something like that, or they would do it or whatever. Just have some better, I think, communications regarding. And the one thing I gave the city manager a little bit of rough discussion about is if any of you parked opposite, like, non-essentials and the radio station and things like that on the east side of that street, when you opened your door, there was a big berm right there, and you couldn't get across the berm. And when you got across the berm, the sidewalk was not plowed or cleared. And that, of course, that's our lease land. I know that it belongs to the railroad, but we're the leasee. So anyway, so I think he'd probably take that under consideration. But I know a couple of times I was trying to go to the depot. I have short legs, and trying to step over that berm was, you know, and the car doors would bang right into it. So I think we, as the council and as the city, there are ways we can improve what we're responsible for, as well as to work with the citizens and the property owners. So if you have some ideas, pass them on to me, and we'll be discussing this. I'll ask the clerk to put it in our tickler file. So
that's right.
We will bring it up in probably, hopefully we won't have snow before September. So we'll bring it up in one of our September meetings, and just how we can reach out to the public and work with them so that we're not at loggerheads with them. So anything else on, I think just we will be going this Friday to the commuter rail survey task force. That is, it's going to be at the City of Wasilla City Hall. The meeting starts at 1:00, is open to the public, so anybody is welcome to come to that. And when we were looking at the library on this Sunday afternoon, they have the Friends of the Library have their last, I believe it's going to be the last concert of this year, I'm sure. So, and that's always very enjoyable at the depot. Anything else anybody has? Okay. City Attorney's report. Anything for this section of the meeting, sir?
Nothing to report, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is audience participation. We invite anybody in the audience to come forth. You can speak on anything that's on the agenda or anything that's not on the agenda. 3 minutes if you are representing yourself, and 5 minutes if you're representing a group. And the audience participation is now open. Okay, come on up. Okay. Come up and sign in. Turn the mic on. Put the mic up for you, yourself, please.
Go ahead first. I'll come up after you.
If you don't get too many rotten tomatoes, then she'll come on up, yeah. Right, I guess. Yeah, there should be a button there, sir, and the light will come. There you go. Go
Roger
ahead.
Roger that. Hello, I'm Stephen Payne. I'm the Safety and Emergency Preparedness Manager for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And I just wanted to speak to the SRO vote that's going on. I wholeheartedly support that, obviously, for four different reasons. The main reason, student safety, obviously, our top priority at the school district. Making sure not only Palmer High School's got an SRO, but that SRO is able to float between Palmer High School and Palmer Middle School and assist. So you're providing that security, and then on the second part of it, you're providing relationship building. Obviously, an SRO, some students may only see a police officer when there's problems, right? Mm-hmm. So they're building that relationship by seeing a police officer as a person, mm-hmm. a normal community member. And third point would be that it's a force multiplier for your police department. Chief Ketterling will have that police policeman or policewoman to respond to larger incidents as a whole. And fourth point that I like about it is the training aspect of it. As you rotate an officer through that position over the years of the contract or however that works out, the training that they get by inviting the other officers in and conducting exercises and such, each officer learns that building a little bit better, both mm-hmm. buildings. And I'm sure Chief Ketterling already has them doing that, but it will obviously help. So I just hope that you consider it and help us out. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Steve. Anyone else from the audience who would like to come forth and testify? Come on, come forth.
Good evening. For the record, I'm Monica Guayette. I'm the superintendent with the Mat-Su Borough School District, and I am here in support for the SRO program. Our district has had a school resource officer program with Wasilla PD for about 5 years. And we've seen tremendous benefit from it. And really the biggest benefit is prevention, that a presence, a positive presence of law enforcement can be a motivator to deter crime from even occurring. And so that's one of the biggest benefits that we see. And some concern is that it might be a punitive approach to working with students, that students might have more consequences with law enforcement than they would if a police officer wasn't located in the school. However, the way that it worked with Wasilla, and this model is based off of Wasilla, we only involved law enforcement in those things that we would normally anyways. Weapons, violence against others, drugs, or alcohol infractions. So those are all things that we would have normally called the Palmer PD for if those had occurred on one of our schools. And in the first year that Wasilla had one, there was only 8 times that the police were actually involved in something that would involve legal charges with a student. And so it really is around the well-being and safety and security of the building. And things that have helped the community. In Wasilla, they will go out to businesses. If there are students that are being truant, they can go in certain areas. If students are loitering, they can go there, make sure that the kids come back to school. They've done welfare checks when they're concerned about the safety of students. And of course, I think, and Steve Payne spoke to this, it's the positive relationship that students build with law enforcement. Sometimes if students come from very at-risk environments, there might be a negative attitude in the home towards law enforcement. And in this situation, kids will get to know an officer every day, have them on site. And then as they become adults, they'll hopefully see law enforcement as a positive resource for them. And so we're wholeheartedly in support of that and hope that we can partner. Chief Ketterling did reach out to us a year ago. And so I know this is something that the Palmer Police Department has thought about for a while. And so we're hoping that we can do this. I know jurisdiction is an issue, but there's 5 schools that are within the jurisdiction of the city of Palmer. It's about 15% of our student population. And we also have two home school correspondence sites, Twin Lee Bridge and Mat-Su Central. And so that is a very high density of our population. And the majority of our schools are outside of jurisdiction. It's not just Colony High and Valley Pathways. Our Houston area, we're very concerned about in Reddington. And so this is just one piece of the puzzle of the school resource officer program for us. We're talking with the troopers, public safety, if Wasilla can expand, and also privatized security, what that might look like. Okay. Can I say one more thing?
Oh, absolutely.
We did do a financial review. We did contract with the Government Finance Officers Association, asked them to do an external review of the way that we organize financially. It's not just for us about trying to find new revenue. It really is also equally about the expenses. And so they're going to present at the Joint School Board Assembly meeting on Tuesday, April 3rd. Thank you. And then the following day, we are inviting leadership, community councils to come into the school district at 10 a.m. and hear that presentation and ask questions and make suggestions for ways that we can do a better job.
Thank you. Good. All right. Thank you. Anyone else from the audience who would like to come and address the council on anything that's on the agenda or anything that's not on the agenda that you'd like to talk to the council about? Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, I will close audience participation and we will come back to the first item under public hearing, resolution 18-011, authorizing the issuance and sale of a utility revenue refunding bond by the city in the principal amount of not to exceed $4,816,000. For the purposes of refinancing cost of the wastewater utility improvements, establishing the terms of the utility revenue refunding bond, authorizing the sale of the utility revenue refunding bond to the United States Department of Agriculture and related matters. Does the council wish to have a staff report before I open the public hearing? Yes. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So we approved a bond earlier when we did the interim financing, but because we're refunding or refinance, basically we're refinancing, we have to refund that bond. So that's what this is. We've come down to the point where we are making our last payment this coming week, and our interim loan is down to less than $10,000. So we will need to refinance, and then at that point we'll get the $3.4 million grant. So we'll start using grant funds. So this is the step that closes out the interim financing, which was covered by a bond. Then we will refund that next bond with, again, with utility. It's not general fund. It's set up the same way as the first National Bank bond was set up. So really, it's a action for the council tonight to approve the new bond. Again, it didn't have to go to the voters. It's the same. It's just a refunding of the one we did. There's a lot of other documentation besides the bond. I just want to include just as a reminder, what we did with the USDA, the letter they sent us, which is on page 60, that told us what the terms were, and then some other documentation. Basically, it's a 19-page letter of all the requirements that we have, and then a couple of forms that I'll be signing at loan closing. So you see that there's more to it than just the bond piece, but the council's portion of this is to refund the bond. It's not an increase in amount, same as the initial bond was. If you have specific questions about the language, Cynthia's not here tonight, but it mirrors what we did, basically what we did before, with some additional language on how it's paid through USDA, because they have specific words that they need that is different from our normal bond. But that's what this item is about.
Alrighty, with that, then I will open the public hearing on resolution 18-011. Anyone can come forth and address the council on this particular resolution. 3 minutes if you are representing yourself and 5 minutes if you're representing a group. The testimony at this portion will just be on that resolution, not on anything else. Anyone from the audience would like to come and address the council? Does council have any objections to me closing the public hearing? With that, I will close the public hearing on resolution 18-011. And what's the wishes of the council?
Move to approve, Madam Mayor.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution 18-011. Is there comments, amendments, discussion by the council? Okay. So the council will proceed to vote on Resolution 18-011. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Those that oppose, say no. The yeses have it, and we have approved Resolution number 18-011. The next item on our agenda is Action Memorandum 18-042, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a three-year agreement with the Matanuska Sioux Sittna Borough School District to provide a school resource officer to the schools within the Palmer city limits, the amount being funded 75% by the school district and 25% by the city of Palmer. Do you prefer a motion or a staff report first? Okay, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As was noted during audience participation, we've been working with the school district probably more than a year. It stopped and started based on financing and other issues that both organizations had at the time. So it's been revitalized. I think we're both well on the way to making this happen if the council sees that it's appropriate for this body to do so. It's mirrored, again, as Dr. Goyette mentioned, off of the Wasilla contract. So that's what's really attached as a draft. We haven't really gotten into the nuts and bolts negotiation. We put this together when this discussion started, again, that, you know, we want to get this to the council so when the time is appropriate to have the discussions, we're ready. Well, from the time that we put this together and today, we've started those discussions. So it's well on its way to being a workable solution if the council sees fit. So it's 75%, 25%, and that also represents how much time the officer would spend in the school district as opposed to in the city. It's also mentioned already that this would not be just the high school. The officer would serve all schools with primarily Palmer Middle and Palmer Junior, or Palmer High and Palmer Junior Middle, but also would cover the elementary schools as needed as if something were to arise. Again, it's not, position is not just to solve crimes in those schools. It's to be a resource to that school to highlight both the relationships that officers can have with students for the, not only for their safety, but just as a resource in the community for when they're later in life. So it's not just to crack down on crimes in the schools. That's just a very small portion of what this officer does. And again, it's within the city limits. The discussion on for future officers, is, as the superintendent mentioned, is for another time. This is just for Palmer to get started. The numbers you see are rough numbers based on what our calculations were at the time. Salary and benefits for 3 years. If for some reason the contract were to not be extended beyond the 3 years, then we would no longer fund that position, and that position would, in my mind, would go away through attrition. The other piece is we can't just put any officer in there. It requires a certain officer with a certain amount of experience to go into that. So again, we wouldn't hire a new officer that would go to the academy and then go to the school. It would be, if we can't find somebody that has the right experience, we would send one of our current officers there and then backfill with a new officer. So there's a lot of moving parts. And starting on this early now gives us a leg up in time to, if we do decide to approve this, to recruit the appropriate officer, either to go into that position or to backfill a current officer. So I don't see Lance giving me the big no, or I think I've hit the high points. If there's further questions or detailed questions, I may call Lance up to answer.
Okay. What is the wishes of the council on Action Memorandum number 18-042?
Second.
Okay. There's motion been made and seconded to approve Action Memorandum 18-042. Discussion, amendments, comments, questions? Yes. Go ahead. Deputy Mayor Best.
Often when we have positions, we're always worried about the PERS implications. If funding was to dry up and we don't continue this after a three-year or four-year period, because we'd only be eliminating one position, that should not put us in a PERS obligation situation.
That's correct. It's based on the line more and not the number of officers. So if we were to get rid of our police department completely, then we'd have to do a study. But if we vary up and down, so long as we don't dip below the number of employees we had at the time the whole PERS piece started, which I think was a significant number, we will not be subject to a PERS study for this.
Madam Mayor.
Okay.
Just one comment. In the contract itself, I have some technical suggestions for the city manager, so he and I will be working with that to edit some of the language.
Okay, yeah. So which one won over here? Okay, Councilman Carrington.
It's just curiosity that maybe through the manager and maybe the chief would know, it seems like back in, was it the 90s that we had a Palmer police officer, I think, that was going to the schools? It might not have been called an SRO at the time, but.
No, can you remember?
Maybe I should ask Councilman Hansen. He's probably.
Yeah.
There's the other old timer here.
There's a head nod from the audience. And yes, we did have something similar to that in the past. Yeah. And we don't spend time in the schools, but we do when the officers see kids playing in the playground after hours. They've stopped when there's nothing going on and shot baskets, and they do respond to the high schools and the junior middles when there is an issue. So it's not like we're not supporting the schools already, but this would be a more intense, dedicated officer to the school system.
Okay. Councilor
France. Yeah, I think it's a very good idea. I've personally worked in schools with SROs, and I've seen them have a real positive impact on the culture of the school and have great positive effects on individual students as well. And I would just throw a kernel towards the chief in that when you're hiring for this position, I know experience is important, but I would argue disposition of the officer is even more important because I have worked at schools with an SRO and they just sat in an office and had no real positive effect on the school. So as we hopefully move down this path, I do hope that great care and consideration is put into the decision of who's going to sit in that chair.
Okay. Are there questions or comments from any other council members? Councilman Hansen?
I have a couple questions. So our ratio is 75-25. And so kind of explain to me the mechanics of this operationally, how we arrive at 75-25. I mean, summer vacations, he or she is with the police department in town, or help me out with that.
So the intent is when he's with the when the officer is with the school, just when school's in session, the officer's there. So ideally, the officer would take vacation when school's off, and then when the summer comes, he's fully engaged in the police department. So vacation time and all that's going on, we would primarily use the officer during the summer for the city work. Again, during vacation time, Christmas break, and probably like Christmas break, our department also folks take breaks, so he could backfill at that point in time as well. So it's the scheduling piece is when school's not is in session, he's working for the school district in this position, and when school's not in session, then he's reporting for duty to his supervisor, and then the breaks come as they do, and he earns vacations like any other police officer. So it takes him several years to be able to take the entire summer off, but the intent would be when school's out, he would normally take a break, but if it's scheduling for the department, he may take vacation in the summer as well. That's how that's broken down.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd also just like to add one benefit I think that's been missed is the a lot of our officers are homegrown, and I think this would be a nice ability to introduce kids to, you know, a pretty gratifying career type opportunity. So I think that, you know, there's also that element.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments from the council? Okay. All those in favor of action memorandum 18-042, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. The yeses have it, and action memorandum number 18-042 has been approved. The next item on our agenda is action memorandum 18-043, authorizing the city manager to amend the professional services agreement with HDL Engineering Consultants in the amount not to exceed
$57,507 for additional required design phase services for shared area water and sewer improvements phase 5, which includes street improvements, lighting, and a pathway on Auckland Avenue between the Glen Highway and Valley Way. So go ahead, sir, with that. I'm sure they'll want to staff. Yeah, right. I'm not even going to waste them, your words.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as I've discussed in our project plans, and it's directed by the council through the budget process, paving Auckland from the Glen Highway to Valley Way is a project that we're starting this year. The first piece, of course, is to get to the 90% design so that we can go out for a bid. Because HDL was responsible for that portion of town with the 65% plan, we thought we were going to have more money and do the entire city. It was determined by myself and Public Works to remain with them and just extend the project another phase, as even though this time it'll be with city funds as opposed to a state grant. But this will take us up to the point where we'll have bid available documents. And that'll allow us to find other funding sources besides just our own capital pot. Once we get to that point, we can start shopping with USDA through their rural program. We'll have something available for bike paths to take other directions with some of the folks that deal with trails. So it wouldn't necessarily be just one big package that they put together that it's to the point where we can chop it up or do it as one package. But we got to get to that point. So what this is amending the contract for phase 5 for Auckland to Valley Way to include the paving, lighting, and the pathway to that point. We've also had discussions on taking it, the bike path, Auckland path, all the way up and through to the Copperwood property or Matt River Park, not as necessarily a part of this package, but that's our intent, is to get that trail all the way out that direction. So that'll part of our discussions is how much more engineering would it take to get there, but this is only up to Valley Way.
Okay. The item on the agenda is action memorandum number 18-043. What is the wishes of the council?
Moved. Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve action memorandum number 18-043. Discussion? Yes.
Just wondering is if it's something that at this point we need to consider adding more money or adding scope of work to use this project to get across Arctic to the bike path going to the Butte, because, you know, the state's going to be interested in us paying for not only electricity, but probably some of the design work, I suspect.
What he said to me was paint, but anyway, go ahead.
At this point, no, because if it's something that's under $15,000, I can take care of that. So I don't know what the cost estimate for design work is at this point for the additional design of that trail. If it's something more than that I can prove at my level, then yes, I'll have to come back and ask for some more money. And in that case, it included a larger scope. But right now, I don't know that it will cost that much more to get the design piece done. And then now that the overhead light, that'll have some that I'll address that on a different AM for the crossing of Arctic. And that may change depending on what that looks like. That may change the need to take a trail all the way down as fast as we want to. Because what we're trying to do is get folks all the way down to the Butte Trail, and we've had problems getting across Arctic. So if there's a crosswalk with a blinking light, I mean, I could put paint. I wouldn't paint. Sorry, Mayor. I am not going to paint Arctic without having some kind of flashing light. It's too dangerous a road just to rely on paint on the ground. So that'll be an item that I'll bring forward once we get an estimate on what it'll cost to do that. And maybe that is the path that goes there, and we don't have to go all the way. It would be nice to have a trail that connects behind the charter that gets to behind the cemetery into Matt River and then on down to the Matt Sioux Trail. That's going to have a trailhead at Copperwood's old property. So again, a connector, but tonight I don't think we need to change the scope just yet, but that's the direction I'm going with it based on the conversations I've heard at the table during Capitol and the bits and pieces in town that we want to make that connector. There may be a cheaper way to do it in the short term, but maybe long term it is still a path that goes that direction. Long answer for a simple question.
Any other comments, amendments, or questions from the council on Action Memorandum 18-043? Okay. All those in favor of 18-043, please say yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, say no. The yeses have it, and Action Memorandum 18-043 has been approved. The next item on our agenda is New Business Resolution 18-012, adopting the 2018 update to the City of Palmer Standard specifications for construction in the city. Why don't you just go ahead with the staff report, sir?
And to be honest, I haven't read all 900 pages, and I told Councilmember Combs at the chamber that I would quiz her on it, so you get a buy on the quiz. Thank you. So there's these technical questions. Maybe you can answer those for us. So it is a large document, and it's from 1999. The council has updated it on occasion for certain items. One of them that was brought to my attention by Councilmember Hanson was the HDPE. We had to do an adjustment to our standard specs for that particular item when we installed that for the Southwest Water Extension. So what this does is cleans up any amendments that we may have made. It's a lot like the International Building Code when we did the update to that. We adopted the code for that particular year. This cleans up a lot of our references. So we talk about the national statutes, such as the American Society for Testing and Materials. We've updated to capture the latest and greatest on that. For the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, when we refer back to that, we're referring to the most current. The American Wastewater Association, AWWA, which governs most of our wastewater treatment facilities. We've also, and the process for how we got here was really Greg started the research for all the stuff that we've done, we've run across, packaged that up with line throughs of our current, and then we sent it to HDL for the final cleanup research to make sure that the workman's, the guy that's actually doing the work, his interpretation is transferred to, along with the actual language of these different documents, but it's also based on Anchorage and state highway or DOT standards, so that we aren't building something that's different or less than those two organizations who do a lot more roads than we do. So that's really where we are with this and why we're doing it. Not to say that something might come up 6 months from now that we didn't capture, that we might have to amend because of a contract at the airport for some reason, but we think this is a pretty good packet going forward. And it'll drive a lot of our construction contracts. So that's kind of where we stand on this one.
Okay, what's the wishes of the council?
My question is there anything that would...
Let's get a motion on the floor, shall we, please?
Move to approve.
Okay,
second.
Thank you. All right, so it's been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution 18-012. Deputy Mayor Best, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is there any problem if we were to postpone this for one meeting because it is a 900-page document to allow us and the public to a little bit more time to review this? That's one question.
No, okay. It wouldn't. I'm not convinced that the public will those that have a vested interest have already been involved in the process. The general public, there's no reason we couldn't. This isn't pressing. It's been more than 10 years. We'd like to get it so that the folks come in that are going to build this summer and have it in their hands.
My next question is, now we had HDL do a review on it. Did we maybe send a copy to, like, the Home Builders Association to see if they had any cuts on this?
This wouldn't go to the home builders. This would be more to the road builders. Some of the developers who are developing subdivisions would need to see it, but the folks that are building houses wouldn't. But we can do that for a comment if desired.
Okay. Further discussion by the council? Okay. All those in favor? Oh,
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I am going to ask that we postpone it for till the next meeting.
We have a meeting with the subdivision this Friday.
Okay. All those in favor of Resolution 18-012, please say yes.
Yes.
Point of order. Are we voting on an amendment or the resolution?
I don't think.
Nobody had seconded.
Okay.
Nobody's. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of Resolution 18-012? No? There's still questions? Okay. Okay. All those in favor of Resolution 18-012, please say yes.
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 Those opposed say no. Okay, the motion has passed. We have adopted the 2018 update. Madam Clerk, record of items placed on the table.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The City Clerk's employment agreement and a flyer from the Mat-Su Borough School District regarding their budget information meeting are the two items placed on the table tonight.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. Now open for anyone from the audience who would care to address the council on any item of interest to them, whether it was on the agenda or not. 3 minutes if you're representing yourself and 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Seeing no one come forth, I will close audience participation. Council member comments. Councilman Combs, can we start with you, please?
I just want to thank everyone who came out for the Green Day Gallup. It supported Mat-Su Miners as well as just the City of Palmer. So it was a really good turnout for not so amazing weather, but that's all. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Councilman Fuller.
No, I'd like to thank the chief for putting together that report. I think that's very integral for the future, and I'd like to hopefully see something with Public Works come out and Parks and Rec and whatnot on expanding the city in the future and what it's going to cost. In addition to that, I think, too, we should be pushing back on the borough instead of, you know, shirking the responsibility to the cities that they either need to take action or promote the cities to be or to the cities to annex and promote those outside citizens to, you know, embrace it versus fight it because of regulation, because it's six of one, half dozen the other. You're going to have to pay for it. It's nothing's free. There's no free lunch.
Councilman Hansen.
I don't have a comment, Your Honor.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Best. It's good to see you here.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Glad the surgery went well.
Yes, ma'am. I'm really glad that this council approved the extra police officer position. I think that is something that is important. You know, even growing down on the Kenai, there was a police officer that would come in every now and then and visit our schools. They also had kind of a cadet program that there was, you know, juniors and seniors in high school that could participate in ride around with police officers and that kind of stuff. And that was a great program, too. It was an outreach in some aspects. And, you know, I seen kids that were probably on the edge of going either way, and they were engaged in those kind of programs, and I think it kind of straightened them out. So I think those are good programs to for us to look towards as well. Thank you.
Councilman LaFrance.
Thank you. I have a couple of things. First off, I really enjoyed the Radio Free Palmer video recording that was shared internally. I thought that was a nice test of the technology. I thought it came out very well, and I do hope that we look to move down that road in the future, or at least have a discussion about moving down that road in the future. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that we have some dignitaries from the school district in the audience, and paint a picture of a trail on Cope Industrial that we currently have that dumps into the Palmer Middle School parking lot and kind of disintegrates. And I just thought it'd be a nice time to think about if we could route that trail safely in the front of the parking lot between Cope Industrial and where there currently is parking. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do for the students of that school and this community, and I would love to speak with anyone about that if I have the opportunity to. And lastly, I want to thank the mayor again for looking into the crosswalk across Arctic, and that makes me very happy to think that that's something we could achieve in the near future.
Good. Thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure. Councilman Carrington.
A couple things. For some years now, I've made the comment that Palmer is one of the densest cities in our state, in the sense of that we're so compact, and I think it's one of those things that we should be looking at our borders, and in annexation, like I said, I don't know how many decades ago it was that we had people that couldn't even say the word, but I think it helps if we address it in the sense of it's, if you're looking at it, we're trying to get people from the borough to come join the city, and it's really, you're choosing a smaller form of government than the borough. So I think it's a positive thing.
And we're more efficient and better and everything else, right? With that, the meeting is adjourned.